dedicated to talking in America.
Alrighty, guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Bruno Explains It All. Of course, you guys know who I am. My name is Anthony, your favorite friendly neighborhood podcaster streaming straight out of New York City. And in the co-pilot seat, as promised, your BFF, my brother, the man, the one and only JB.
Hey, what's going on, party people?
Jesus, a lot is going on, but not partying.
I was partying yesterday.
How was your night?
It was very eventful. It was
eventful.
Yes. Just know I was one of the people in the club standing on the seats, jumping up and down.
Oh Jesus. No, yeah, I really have to party with JB at least once in your lifetime. Or hire him to host your party. I'm sure like he'll have more than half of the room, like probably standing up on their heads.
Yeah, like, I'm the life of the party, guys. What can I say?
But what we're gonna talk about, it's not very lively or happy. I woke up randomly the other day. I was telling you a little bit about it. I woke up and I had this song in my head, and this particular artist, her name is Duffy, and she sang like this big, I'm not sure if she has any other hits, but she had this big hit called Mercy a couple of years ago. And I'm like, damn, I want to hear that song. I haven't heard it in a minute. And then when I look it up, I'm seeing all these like related articles as to how she disappeared because she was kidnapped.
Hold on,
against her will.
Question. When did she like pop up in like the music scene?
So that Mercy song was, I believe, her debut song. Like,
so
she's her hit.
She's a pretty new artist, right?
So I wouldn't say, no, a couple of years. So her debut album, Rock Fairy, debuted in 2008. And I believe she won several awards for it. She had that hit song, that very catchy sort of jazzy funk type of song. Up in the lanes with like the Amy Winehouse of the world, right? It was called Mercy. And it was so sad. I found out that she like disappeared. And it's not that she disappeared on her own will. Like, the woman was like kidnapped and trafficked and raped. It's just crazy. She wrote this like really, really big essay, you know, retelling her story. And so I wanted to take a minute and read it and then just chime in, say, share our opinions. But first, it's not the only thing that hit me this week. Also, that documentary with the Nickelodeon kids. What was it called? Quiet on the Set?
Yeah.
Did you get to see it?
No, not yet. I've been stuck on Chicago shows.
I feel like you keep name dropping Dan Schneider and Nickelodeon. You know, so I felt.
But no, it's because
I got the vibe that you watched it.
I've seen so much of it online. Like, it's probably one of the most viral things out right now on top of the whole, you know, Diddy situation. But
we live in a day and age where we technically don't have to watch things in its
you don't.
Entirety.
You really
because
don't.
Because you pretty much know all the stories based on TikTok and social media.
Yeah, it's just so crazy. You know. And then I've watched, you know, on TikTok, they have, like, the little clips of certain people, you know, speaking. That were, like, they have, like, a whole thing of Drake Bell, where he was kind of like giving a little bit of his story, like how he was, you know, sexually assaulted and stuff like that.
With Drake Bell.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you feel about him and what he went through?
It's sad, you know, to be that age. And mind you, he was, I think he was 15, he said. And, you know, to be sexually assaulted by somebody who you wouldn't expect, you know, to do something like that. Like, this is somebody who, you know, they're helping you with, like, in your career and stuff like that. You know, you're around them every day. And then there's no indications of them ever being that type of person. And then it just happens. And you're just like, what the hell? Like,
yeah, no, I agree. I do have two questions for you. The first question is, Drake Bell was also accused of being inappropriate with minors. So if it's true, do you feel that his experience justifies him allegedly continuing the pattern or that behavior?
No, not at all. Not at all.
I feel like everybody's forgetting that.
Because it's like, you know what you felt.
He was accused of having inappropriate conversations or some sort of type of connection with a minor. There's a girl with a video and all that says, Drake Bell took advantage of me. But yet, we seem to forget about that. And now we're just fixed on how he was brutally raped.
But I mean, how do I say this without not sounding like I'm Team Drake Bell? So what he did...
Do you know about the story? Because I don't know exactly about the story. Because I noticed in the documentary, Drake Bell alludes, like hits on the accusations made against him. And he says something to the effect like, you know, and the media grabbed misinformation and ran with it. Now, sweetie, brother, I didn't grab any misinformation. I saw a video of a young girl, whether she's lying or not. So don't tell me that the media gave it to me. No, the young girl propped up a camera and said she met you at a concert and that you took advantage of her. So either she's a flat out liar or you was entertaining something. I'm not saying you penetrated or raped her, but you was having inappropriate conversations. And I'm not saying conversations have to be, oh, I want to fuck you in the butt. It don't have to be graphic, sexually graphic. But you as an adult man was entertaining conversations with a minor. And everybody seems to forget about that. Because you want to sit down in front of a camera and say how a grown man attacked you. And I'm not trying to be heartless, but I feel like he probably, I don't know, shared his story to sort of deflect the hot water he's found himself in.
I mean, I wouldn't really say, all right, because you can't use what he did being older to then use that and say,
no, but
you did this when you're older. I get you went through what you did when you were younger, but you did this when you're older. So, hey, you kind of deserved it. You know what I mean? Because that's kind of
I would never say that. No.
You know, because it's like, remember, he was a Nickelodeon. Now that this whole documentary, that little two-episode thing came out where they wanted everybody who experienced this type of abuse, you know, like on set and stuff and behind closed doors. I mean, obviously he's going to say his piece. I did this, so I'm not going to say what happened. You know, obviously he's going to say his piece. I don't know if he was trying to use it to deflect on what he did. You know, like, oh, well, but I was a victim, so...
I do feel that there is a good chance that he shared his story to sort of shift the way
the world looks at him. So was he supposed to stay quiet about what
happened? No, I'm not saying that he should have stayed quiet, but I felt like, honestly, you have every right to share your story, but I feel like you're sharing your story to sort of shift the public's view on you. Because for the past few years, the only thing that anybody's ever said about you is that you're drunk, several DUIs, and I guess, I don't know, violent outbursts, celebrity beef with Drake. Josh. Celebrity beef with Josh. Yeah. All this, nothing that you've done in the past few years has really screamed like anything really positive for you to be awarded in. So now I feel like he's sharing his story to answer to all the bad stuff that he's been doing, because he shared his story and then he goes, yeah, and then I went to drinking and I went through this and I did this and I did XYZ. So us as the public, me sitting there, it's like, oh, I can forgive him about the drunk driving. Like, just like an example, I'm not saying that Drake did this, but oh yeah, I remember when this guy hit someone with a car and drove off. It was because he was drinking, because he was violated a few years ago. So it's all understandable now. It all makes sense. And it may make sense, but it's still, I don't think everything is forgivable just because you say, hey, I'm a hurt person and I was just hurting, and so I created destruction around me for a little while.
I mean, so would you say that same thing to women, like to females who were molested when they were younger, and then as they got older, now they're breaking hearts and hurting guys because now they have commitment issues, or they're scared, or, you know, they're just fucking left and right because of what they went through? Would you say that same thing to them as well?
Wait, so she's fucking left to right because she was taken advantage of?
Yeah, there's actually a lot of women now who have commitment issues or daddy issues, or are scared to like fully commit to like one person, so they're just kind of like hopping around.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
Etc. Etc. Would you say that same thing to them?
No, your behavior is not excusable.
So,
like, you can't say, you can't fuck with five different guys, play with their emotions, and then where they're hurt. I never had a daddy, so I don't know how to treat a man. Bitch, look it up. You've never seen a movie? You've never seen a portrayal of a healthy relationship on TV? Fuck the people around you. You've never turned on your TV. What are you watching? What are you consuming? Who are you flocking with? Who's your crew? Like, who? What's your community looking like? Because that's the example that you're getting from TV and from the people around you. Just fuck, 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 fuck. And then you want to say, that's all I know, though. Like, to be honest, I'm going to put myself in that position. Look, let's say, hypothetically, I'm a serial cheater. Do I have the right to say, that's all I know? That's what I saw my daddy do. So I cheat on everybody? Like, it makes no sense. Really. That's like my boss.
I actually do agree with that.
That's like my boss. Beautiful woman, right?
Very. Sorry.
And not to completely share, like, go into details, but her dad killed her mom in front of her.
Oh, God.
So is it okay for her to wake up today and say, well, they did it in front of me. This is all I know. Let me kill JB in front of his brother because I went through that. That's all I know. That's the example they gave me. Like, it's just weird. I just feel like we make our own decisions. Yeah, we make mistakes. Yeah, we make repeated mistakes. But at the end of the day, we can't point the finger at someone else and say, oh, this is what they taught me. This is what I went through, so this is all I know. Forceful. Oh, yeah, I accidentally raped that kid over there. Like, this is just me speaking about me. Yeah, I raped that boy over there. Yeah, he was 16. But it's just because when I was 19, someone rubbed, I don't know, jacked me off. And ever since then, I thought it was okay. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
If you're triggered or you have some sort of trauma, it's your job. It's your due diligence to seek the help that you need to make yourself feel better, not to continue some fucking broken ass pattern or habit. Well, my dad did crack or cocaine. That's like your friend that said God made man and man made witchcraft, so it's good, or some shit like that. Or
oh no, that was with the whole drug thing. The whole drug thing.
So, man, God made man and man made the drugs, so fuck it. Let's take the drugs. Like, it makes no sense.
Because I think the way she had worded it was that since God created everything, he created everything for, like, for people to experience.
To experience, yeah. Yeah. It's fucking retardo. Delulu. That's my favorite word that I stole from you.
Delulu.
Well, anyway, real quick, I'm going to read the essay that Miss Duffy wrote. You guys should look her up. She's a pretty good singer. So I don't know why. I guess the website is called The Fifth House, but it says The Fifth House. It troubles me that the story contains sorrow when so many need the opposite of this at this time. I can only hope that my words serve as momentary distraction, or maybe even some comfort that one can come out of darkness. We are in troubling times where we've not seen such a national and global worry since World War II. Do you agree?
I'm sorry, say that again.
We are in troubling times where we've not seen such national and global worry since World War II.
Definitely agree. Definitely.
Now it's important than ever to think about the impact we have on each other. There will be great change to come from our shared crisis, a renewed understanding and appreciation of freedom and human connection. But nothing comforts loss, only time. You see? I'm not an academic or public speaker, but I have to mention our current crisis. These are tragic days. Like you, I worried about relatives, loved ones, and colleagues. Our tears are shared. The only cure now is prevention, by staying in and allowing the frontline workers to cope. I could have decided to not release further words during these times. I don't think this is ever a right time, since promising to follow up in due course. So this, let me just sidetrack real quick. This article was written and published in 2020. So I believe that she is alluding a lot to the pandemic, because she just says our tears are shared. The only cure now is prevention, by staying in and allowing the frontline workers to cope. So I think she's encompassing what was going on around that time.
Yeah, because that's that is when COVID started. Yeah,
it was at the beginning of the year. So, if you are reading this, I must warn you, it contains information some may find upsetting. The story is not going anywhere. It will remain online, which is true because I went on the website and I was able to screenshot it. So it is still up. If you're not able to take on someone else's suffering or the recounting of such, I recommend you do not read on. And guys, as the two beautiful hosts, we recommend that you tune out. For me, in these hours, I recall the words of Maya Angelou, who once said, "There's no greater agony than bearing an untold story inside you." Wow. And I share mine with you today. That is so fucking deep. I posted the words I wrote a few weeks ago because I was tired of hiding. Never feeling free or burden free. I had become enmeshed with my story like a dark secret. It made me alone and feel alone. What is also hard to explain is that in hiding and in not talking, I was allowing the rape to become a companion. Wow. Me and it living in my being. I no longer wanted to feel that intimacy with it. A decade of that intimacy has been destructive. Wow. So she's been going through this for a decade before she even decided to tell us. I had to set myself free. I have been hurt, and it would have been dangerous to talk from a hurt place in the past prior to feeling ready. Unable to do what I'm doing today previously, I also considered and explored human rights laws to change my name off public record and disappear to another country and maybe become a florist or something so that I could put the past behind with a new life. Wow. You could do that. That is crazy that she was gonna go to those extremes, like completely erase her from like the face of the planet and just start a whole new life. It's almost like putting yourself in protective custody.
But remember though, it's like going through what you went through. I mean, a fresh start, you know, it probably, I mean, could help, you know.
But that means you're letting everything go. Your past, your family, your friends. You're leaving the good, the bad behind, right? Because could afford to change everybody's names and y'all start a new life. Because although I was almost unfindable, I daydreamed of having a different haircut, a new name, a boyfriend, and becoming completely forever forgotten. As time went on, it then became about realizing I can't keep hiding. As thrilling as coughing in Paris seems. Since the incident, you know what's so funny? I'm sorry to cut you off, but you know how many times I've daydreamed when I was a teenager and young kid? I feel so weird saying out loud. Like staging my own death or disappearance and just like getting a plane ticket and just,
you know,
like,
it's funny, I used to do the same.
You used to do
the but same. I almost did it once.
I almost bought a ticket for Florida.
I mean, you already know me, I've left plenty of times. I mean, yeah, right? I've left to Florida by myself, I've left to Texas by myself. I've been a couple places, but I've always daydreamed the same, like, but I've always did it with the mindset of like, I wonder how it would affect everybody else in my life. Yeah. If I just disappeared.
That's, you know, what kills me. Since the incident I experienced happened, it was upsetting to think of talking openly. Frightening. Seasons would pass and come and go, and I would further remove from where I once was every year. The longer I left it, the less I could see an image in my mind of something I recognized that I could reach back to. That's why I, at times, would admit defeat and think I can't ever talk and face it. So I should just keep disappearing, turning the lights off in my life. Having not yet established a thriving personal life or had my own family, I would be anguished thinking if I reveal my story publicly, openly to the world, it would hinder my future romantic life. This is not exactly the advert I wanted before meeting the love of my life. I would also worry about coming back to music and the risk of constantly facing the question of what happened? Where did you disappear to? Why did you vanish? What have you been up to for so many years? And that's pretty much, I woke up one day and was like, damn, what happened to that girl? Mercy. I'm begging you for mercy, girl. Right. And it just dawned on me to look her up. I cannot imagine fabricating some story that had been rowing across the world seas. I would have had to lie, and I couldn't lie. So between fears of not being able to emotionally withstand speaking, not being able to lie, and concerns of inheriting a stigma that could affect my future personal life, I would decide not to speak at all, remain vanished, or to daydream of reinventing myself forever. I thought the public disclosure of my story would utterly destroy my life. Emotionally, while hiding my story was destroying my life so much more. So I just have to be strong and disclose it and face all my fears head on. I've come to realize I can't erase myself. I live in my being, so I have to be completely honest and have faith in the outcome. I never knew if I would get to the place of being able to do so. I am grateful to get here. Not everyone has the privilege of being able to talk, such as I am doing today. Stories much more heinous and sorrowful, more inhumane than mine, go untold every day. So damn, she's like even comparing her pain, saying people still have it worse than me. All of our lives have immense meaning and value, and when we come to really realize nothing matters but humanity, we begin to really see each other by the tragedies and joys we all share. Our smiles and our tears are what make us all the same. And while we are observing a great amount of suffering and loss in our world in what seems like a battle that cannot be won, it compels us to truly appreciate the gift of life and the gift of love and the values that matter the most. I've been very warned by some I know not to tell you what I'm about to tell you. Some alluded that I will be pretty much finished and whatever chances I have to make music publicly again. Some have said I would be scorned by the public. Another said I will be called selfish, that the rapist is still at large. Well, it has served to delay my talking by weeks, and me just laying in bed looking at the ceiling trying to find meaning. I take my personal freedom over any amount of stones that can be thrown at me. If I destroy my future, I do it to honor my past. Rape stripped me from my human rights to experience a life with autonomy from fear. Has already stolen 1/3 of my life. Deep down, I do know it would have been a shame and done such an immense disservice to my existence to just delete myself and forget what I had experienced in music publicly. It was also not just my burden. So many others live with the big question too of what happened. The record label, live agents, promoters, publicists, musicians, stylists, hairdressers, makeup, lighting, production, crew people I would meet, people I once knew. No one, utterly no one, knew what happened. It kept me removed from those I could actually trust. Mostly, I did not want to trouble anyone else with what I had experienced. I'm like that. Honestly. I go through hell and back and I'm like, rather deal with it myself. Because half the time, nobody cares. Half the time you look like you're just crying about something new. The final catalyst of wanting to talk was unusual, I think. What really finally made me go, I just can't bear the weight of this anymore. It was so simple but so profound. What would be the catalyst to make me untrap myself? It was being told by a male I had to come to know and really like as a friend that most men would run a mile if they knew you were raped. Wow. I crumbled. I felt very hurt for a few days and reflected a lot. And I thought one might, like an epiphany, that knowledge of my truth makes me no less lovable. The dream of love did die. I finally realized it didn't need to. And just like a light came on, I realized I know what it is to hurt. Therefore, I know what it is to be human. Wow. So, a friend told her, by you sharing your story and telling other men that you were raped, they're not going to want to deal with you? Is that what he meant by, like, men are going to run a mile if they find out you were raped?
But that's a disgusting mindset to have.
And you're her friend. And get to know, girl. Don't tell people you were raped. You're a public figure, but don't tell them. Fucking asshole. Please skip the next 20 lines if you do not want to read the exact account of the kidnapping. Oh, it was my birthday. Oh, man. It was her birthday.
You know, it's funny. I was actually going to, because I thought it was just that. I didn't know she was actually going to get into it. I was actually going to ask, how did it happen? Like, when did it happen? Like, who was it?
I think I just have, like, 2 more pages left, and I think this is where we're going to get into it. It was my birthday. I was drugged at a restaurant.
Wow.
I was drugged then for 4 weeks and traveled to a foreign country. That's human trafficking.
Holy crap.
I can't remember getting on the plane and came around in the back of a traveling vehicle. I was put into a hotel room, and the perpetrator returned and raped me. I remember the pain and trying to stay conscious in the room after it happened. I was stuck with him for another day. He didn't look at me. I was to walk behind him. I was somewhat conscious and withdrawn. I could have been disposed of by him. I contemplated running away to the neighboring city or town as he slept, but had no cash, and I was afraid he would call the police on me for running away. and maybe they would track me down as a missing person. I do not know how I had the strength to endure those days. I did feel the presence of something that helped me stay alive. I flew back with him. I stayed calm and as normal as someone could in a situation like that. And when I got home, I sat days like a zombie. I knew my life was in immediate danger. He made veiled confessions of wanting to kill me. With what little strength I had, my instinct was then to run and find somewhere to live that he could not find. The perpetrator drugged me in my own home in the 4 weeks. I do not know if he raped me there during that time. I only remember coming around in the car in the foreign country and the escape that would happen by me fleeing in the days following that. I do not know why I was not drugged overseas. It leads me to think I was given a class A drug and could not travel with it. Wow. After it happened, someone I knew came to my house and saw me on my balcony, staring into space, wrapped in a blanket. I cannot remember getting home. The person said I was yellow in color and like I was a dead person. They were obviously frightened, but did not want to interfere. They had never seen anything like it. Thereafter, I didn't feel safe to go to the police. I felt if anything went wrong, I would be dead, and he would have killed me. I cannot risk being mishandled or it being all over the news during my danger. I really had to follow what instincts I had. I had two female police officers during different threatening incidents in the past decade. It is on record. And as I grieved what I must have done to invite this into my life, I read something that said, in the end, it's never between them and you. It's always between them and God. That helped me a lot in the absence of justice. Once, someone threatened to out my story and I had to tell a female police officer what information the person held on about me and why the blackmail was so frightening. The second incident was when three men tried to enter my house as intruders. I told the second female officer about the rape then also. The identity of the rapist should only be handled by the police, and that is between me and them. The first person I ever told was a psychologist, and then months later, a leading expert in the UK in complex trauma and sexual violence. I have no idea how I was lucky to find her all those years ago. Her beautiful blue eyes, pink sofa, huge library, amazing brain and skill. Without her, I may not have made it through. I was at high risk of suicide in the aftermath. She got to know me, saw me as a person, learned about me, and navigated me. She did it very gently. I could not look her in the eyes for the first 8 or so sessions. Eye contact was something I struggled with. The thought of recovering was almost impossible. In the aftermath, I would not see someone, a physical soul, for sometimes weeks and weeks and weeks at a time, remaining alone. I would take off my pajamas and throw them in the fire and put on another set. Wow. My hair would get so knotted from not brushing it. As I grieved, I cut it all off. I'm sharing this because we are living in a hurting world, and I'm no longer ashamed that something deeply hurt me anymore. I believe that if you speak from the heart within you, the heart within others will answer. As dark as my story is, I do speak from my heart, from my life, and for the life of others who have suffered the same. You know, she continues on and writes more. I really, if it's something that you're interested, I really recommend that you support her, go look her up and, you know, finish reading the article. It's just so fucking scary how this is a celebrity who I believe was nominated for a Grammy. So this is a celebrity known overseas and known here, and no one recognized her traveling with this man. Not one soul.
It's sad.
It's just crazy to me. And
I'm gonna be honest though, like the way like her word, like the words she using, like the way she talks, you could tell she has like a beautiful soul, you know. Especially like she talks about what she went through, but then she also kind of like talks about like other people as well, and like their feelings and what they're going through, and you know. So it's like you said, she's not trying to like, I'm a victim, you know, feel bad for me, you know, like, yeah.
And you notice there's no musical projects coming along. She did this in 2020. It's 2024. There's no album. No album followed that. This woman really sat down and shared her story for the sake of just sharing it. Not because, oh, I have a new album come out, so I know if I share my story, I'm going to sell 10 20 plus million records because people are going to feel bad for me. Like, I can easily look at her and say, wow, she just really wants to make a difference and wants to leave an impact on people, as opposed to a Dan Schneider who is sitting down in front of a camera to rectify all the stupid shit that people are talking about him. Or even a Drake. Like, it's easy for the lines to get blurry with Drake. Like, dude, now you want to share your sad story after you've become prime enemy of the state? Like, nobody really supports you. So now you, I don't know, it just feels like,
right,
you're trying to win people back by saying, listen, I was hurting, and now I'm getting better. I don't know. It's just weird to me. It's just weird. But listening to Duffy's story, and I'm in a mic drop. Listening to Duffy's story just helps me believe that conspiracies, that if someone like her, that this could happen to her, I can easily believe human trafficking conspiracies about Britney Spears. And on that note, to the next episode. Bye.